Off in the salty ocean, off where the waves roll free, the sparkling water rises, then crashes to the sea. Out amongst the breakers, you'll have no need to fear. It's true, it's the blue frontier.
Welcome to the Rising Tide Ocean Podcast. This is David Helvark, and my co-host is Vicki Nichols Goldstein. Hey, Vicki.
Hello there.
So today we're talking with a past podcast guest and an old friend of ours, also a fellow Blue Frontier board member, Wendy Benchley. And we're talking about something hopeful, the revival of the Peter Benchley Ocean Awards that she and I co-founded many years ago. After the 10th annual awards in 2017, the Benchleys went into what turns out to be a long hibernation. Well, after 7-year absence, the Benchleys are back with great support and commitment from the National Aquarium Conservation Partnership, which is made up of 29 aquariums from around the nation. The first revived Benchley Awards are now scheduled for May 8th, 2025 at the National Aquarium in Baltimore, with nominations from 8 category winners, nominations that are still open to the public. So we'll tell you how you can submit those nominations. And meanwhile, it's also the 50th anniversary of Peter Benchley's book, Jaws.
Wow, I can't believe that 2017 was the last one. Of course, I've been to so many of them, and they are, boy, pretty magical affairs. So I'm actually really excited that they're coming back. So Wendy and David, thinking back to the start of the Benchley Awards, what inspired the two of you to create them, and how did this collaboration come about?
Peter Benchley was the keynote speaker in 2004 at our first Blue Vision Summit that the Blue Frontier put on in Washington, D.C., and is very inspiring. People at the time thought Jaws was an anti-shark movie. And the reality was Peter was, you know, dedicated his life to shark and marine wildlife conservation. So he was a great keynote speaker, a great guy. And when he passed away, I approached Wendy with the idea of setting up an awards in his name, in his honor. And I think, Wendy, you initially had some troubles with previous attempts and were kind of reluctant to partner up on this.
Yes, I was. But honestly, when we started to propose it and we heard the reaction from a lot of ocean people that they were intrigued and thought it would be wonderful, that did a great deal to make me feel really excited about it. And of course, then as it went along, it got more and more thrilling and fascinating and people came together. I think that was one of the most wonderful things about the Benchleys, was that people from different walks of life and different professions would come together under one roof and meet each other and exchange. And I remember one time when Louis Sahoya was talking with Sin Sarnow, and they had such a good time because Louis said, "I hardly ever get to meet a really great grassroots organizer and somebody who's been on the ground and at this for 20, 30 years, however long she was there." And she, of course, was thrilled to talk to Louis. So I'm just delighted that the Benchleys are coming back again and we'll have that kind of exchange.
So there it was, like Louis Soyas, an Academy Award winning director, meeting with Sin Sartau, grassroots Gulf of Mexico activist. And I think that was the amazing thing with the awards, is we created different categories and creating categories that ranged from science to grassroots activisms to youth to media. They were all solution-oriented leadership from sectors that normally didn't encounter each other. So it really created this community. And also, thanks to Wendy and her folks, had a certain elegance that combination, it really got known as the Academy Awards of the Ocean.
Yes, it was a wonderful name to be called, if you want to be called a name. And on that line, I remember many different awardees and interactions, but one that strikes a chord after talking about elegance was when we gave a prize to an award to Prince Albert.
Remember,
and Nanoa Thompson was there. And Noah absolutely captured everybody in the auditorium with his talk because he had that special Pacific Islander way of letting his soul come out. And you could just feel his soul in the ocean and his ancestors sort of coming out with him. And Prince Albert was so captivated by the speech that at our dinner, and he said, I really would love it if Nanoa would come and sit next to me. So I went and got, and he came and sat next to Prince Albert, and they were just in tight conversation for an hour. So that was another exchange where the two of them may have never met, even at conferences. And I think there was a special warmth and camaraderie that developed at these award ceremonies with this kind of cross-fertilization.
Right, exactly. Nanoa Thompson of the Polynesian Voyaging Society that revived natural navigation of the Pacific. People who followed the stars and the winds and the birds and built the largest maritime network on the planet across the Pacific. And then Prince Albert of Monaco, who's this very European, very wealth-centered, but also ocean-centered royal. It was two forms of royalty that, as Wendy said, would never encounter. And I think that was the strength. We were looking and will continue to look for people across the full range. I mean,
you also had leaders like ambassadors and presidents of island nations and people in decision-making positions that could really move the dial on ocean conservation.
Yes, we had John Kerry, who was very powerful then, or Macky Sall, who wanted us to come over to Senegal and present the award there to him because he said, this would help me so much if they saw that the United States and the Benchley Awards were congratulating Senegal for allowing the artisanal fishers to fish and getting rid of the huge boats. Now things have changed since those days, but he definitely felt that it had some power and would help. So too bad, David, we should have flown over there and given him the award over there.
Well, yes, we should have gone to Senegal. We did give the award to the president of Costa Rica at one point because he'd been unable to meet us at the Monterey Aquarium. I went to Palau to dive and give the award to the president, who approached me with his entourage. I said, Mr. President, I love your country, but one of your residents attacked me yesterday. He got this stricken look. I said, yeah.
A great white shark?
An octopus? It was some animal that in the ocean that...
Yes, a Titan triggerfish bit me yesterday. And he goes... Oh, yes, that's a very bad fish. That's a very nasty fish.
Yeah, we've all been bitten by triggerfish. They just nibble at you all the time.
We also had somebody from, you said, was the president of Costa Rica. Was that the woman that blew up the boats, the illegal fishing boats?
Oh, no, that wasn't Costa Rica.
That was fishery minister of Indonesia.
Oh, my gosh. I just remember being blown away with her visuals and everybody just thinking, wow, that's incredible. That's one good way to handle.
And she told us she was getting a lot of pressure from China and other countries that were backing these pirate fishing vessels that were coming into Indonesian territory. She said the award really helped in her efforts. And I said, well, sure, but you literally had your Navy blow up 400 vessels.
I know.
But there were thousands of them. You have to set an example.
That really stood out to me, that particular award.
She was a really wonderful woman. And I saw her a few times afterward. She finally had to retire because her vision was a little too aggressive for Indonesia.
That's for sure. Yeah. Are there any other memories that you guys want to share that are particularly inspiring or memorable for you?
Well, really too many. Again, we had such good events. I think the last two awards, just in terms of the settings, where we had the 9th annual at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. Mm-hmm. And then we also had a whole series of educational panels and workshops adjacent to them. And then the last one was at the Museum of Natural History, the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History in D.C. And at the same time, we had a seminar, a 50-year vision for the ocean at National Geographic. So it's been an important series of community building honors, and it's very exciting to have them coming back.
Yes, I'm psyched. I'm so excited.
It is thrilling, absolutely thrilling that they're coming back. And I'm so pleased that John Racanelli of the National Aquarium in Baltimore and that Julie Packard in the Monterey Bay Aquarium, who actually I think was Monterey who started the Aquarium Conservation Partnership. So I'm hoping, and I think the plan is that there will be eventually award each year at a different aquarium. So that will be very nice because I would hope that we'll go to some of the aquariums in the middle of the United States and not just be East Coast, West Coast.
Well, as we know, the Ocean Coalition, I love that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And they were, the tradition had been East Coast and West Coast switch off each year. But I know that the Chicago Aquarium has already put its marker down for future Benchley Awards.
How did this come about? You mentioned Julie Packard and John Racanelli from the two aquariums. Were you in conversations with them or did they get together and approach you?
No, I had seen John Racanelli at various ocean events. And he, a few years ago, said, I just think the Benchley Awards should come back again. He said, I think they were so exciting and liberating and interesting for the ocean community. And we miss them. And Jane Lipchenko kept saying that too, and Sylvia Earle, and Enrique Salas. So John started to push this, and whenever they had their meetings of the Aquarium Conservation Partnership, he began to talk to them about this would be fun, this would be exciting, let's do it. And they all voted and said, yep, we're going to do it.
It's important that movements, especially that are as broad as the oceans, which cover two-thirds of our planet, we too often dwell on our defeats or challenges and don't acknowledge our victories. And I think in awarding leaders and practicing solutions across different sectors like youth, like grassroots, like national leadership and policy and science, it gave impetus to people to keep going. I remember one of our award winners who I've plagiarized regularly since said that the challenge is finding how we grow solutions faster than the problems.
Mm.
And I think that's what excites people about an award event like this, is you can get inspiration. When I moved back to California, I was thinking of that awardee statement. And I wrote a book on California and the sea because I thought, oh, here's a solution that's as large as the problem. 40 million people, the world's fourth largest economy, doing good by the coast and oceans. And so we gave a posture of this award to the head of the California Coastal Commission.
Peter Douglas. Totally remember that.
And I told him, yes, I told Peter he had cancer. I said, we're going to give you the award. We don't normally let the winners know ahead of time. And he says, well, I'll be there if fate in the ocean allows me.
I'm also thinking about when David started to talk about the history and the idea. I'm just thinking about Peter, when we first started going on National Geographic expeditions. And it was so thrilling for both of us to be able to get out on the ocean. And what other writer has ever been so fortunate as to write a book and then have it open up a whole new life for him, as it did for Peter? We were very lucky that way. And that was one of the things we talked a lot about, was that there are so many different vocations and avocations and jobs that are all associated with helping to get the ocean healthy again. And so I think that the Benchley Awards are very true to that thought that he had, and David helped put it into a real organized award system. But it was certainly something that we talked about when he was still alive. And so it's a great, marvelous feeling. And the other thing I just am thinking about right now is that I'm very moved, and I think he would be if he were alive, that the ocean community accepts Jaws and his writing as something that the end result was fascination and more interest in the ocean, and that it had a positive effect. So I think it's quite wonderful that the aquariums also feel comfortable with that concept.
Do you love the salty characters and ocean champions we have on The Rising Tide? So do we, and we're dedicated to bringing inspiring stories and voices that make waves. But here's the catch. We need your support to keep the tide rolling. A tax-deductible donation at bluefront.org will help keep The Rising Tide on the air and online. If you're ready and able to amplify these salty voices for the sea, dive in with a donation, big or small. Visit bluefront.org and join the movement. And now, back to the show.
Wendy, I just was talking the other day with this young woman scientist who told me when I mentioned she didn't know there was a Peter Benchley Awards and that it was coming back. And when I said that, she got very excited. She said, when I was a child, I read A Girl of the Sea of Cortez, and that she carried it with her for years and inspired her to become a scientist. So it wasn't just Jaws. It was his whole work of fiction that were all about the ocean.
That was Peter's favorite book. Yeah, you do know that he had this wonderful ride on a manta ray that was injured in the Sea of Cortez. And the manta stayed with the ship for about 3 days. I think it was a safe place for the manta. It was like a feeding station. And so he came back from that trip just exhilarated and fascinated with mantas. And then he wrote The Girl of the Sea of Cortez about this young Mexican girl who has a very positive relationship with a manta. And it's a great book. And we hope it's going to be a movie one of these days.
I think it would make a lovely movie. And it's also nice that after meeting so many marine scientists who were inspired by the marine biologist character in Jaws, who Richard Dreyfuss played in the movie, it's nice to meet a scientist who was actually inspired and had her life turned around by Girl of the Sea of Cortez.
I think Peter got thousands of letters from people saying they wanted to be Hooper. And actually, I think Peter wanted to be Hooper. That was sort of his role model.
I know how carefully the honorees have been chosen in the past. Could you walk us through that nomination process for 2025? I know the date has been expanded. So give us the categories, important dates, and anything that people might need to know to nominate somebody within the ocean arena.
We have 8 categories in the new Benchleys. They've been slightly altered and updated, but essentially the same. And the categories, which people, including our listeners, still have time to nominate leaders in these categories, which includes excellence in policy, which is people who're helping to change law and policy, obviously, for a better, healthier ocean. Excellence in national leadership, which, as we mentioned, not just heads of state, but people who are moving their nations in sync with the healthy oceans, recognize healthy oceans mean healthy communities. Excellence in sustainable business solutions, which is a new category, but an important one because there are many sustainable businesses that are part of the blue economy and are actually providing solutions. Excellence in action is our new name for grassroots activism, organizations or individuals at the grassroots. Excellence in science and exploration. Excellence in media, the Christopher Benchley Youth Award, which will go to a young person who's doing outstanding work for the ocean. And then Ocean Hero, which is, we used to call it Hero of the Sea, an individual who's making a real difference. And so to get a listing of all those categories, you can go to the peterbenchleyoceanawards.org, where you can also submit somebody you think is worthy of one of these awards.
What's the date for submission?
It's been extended to early December. So time to get those nominations in. If you know an individual or group or a business or a scientist who's just doing extraordinary work on behalf of the ocean, and they aren't one of the 75 people who've already received a Benchley Award, somebody called up and said, could we get another award?
One Benchley Award per lifetime. Once you nominate someone, what is the selection process?
There is a selection committee representing a wide range, a diverse range of ocean leaders from the past Benchley Award system plus the aquarium network. And we'll all be sitting down later in December and going through as many nominations as we have to get through to find the people that are best and most inspiring for these 8 categories.
Now, I always looked forward to this event, and I had to think about what to wear because it is such an elegant, or it has been an elegant, beautiful affair. Will it have that same kind of feeling to it? Or tell me about the ambiance that you're anticipating for the relaunch of the Benchley Awards.
Definitely, it's going to be elegant again. You and I have to go out and get something that will be smashing. I think the cutoff date to submit a nominee is December 8th.
So get those nominations in. And again, we'll be ocean elegant. I remember the blues and greens I've seen at these events. And yeah. I've been reduced to penguin-like behavior in a tuxedo.
So I thought I might just tell you who's on the selection committee. Sylvia Earle, Jasmine Graham, who is president and CEO of Minorities and Shark Sciences, David Helvarg,
Wendy Benchley,
Kim McIntyre, who's executive director of the Aquarium Conservation Partnership, John Racanelli, CEO of the National Aquarium, Sean Russell, he was a past awardee, a youth awardee, and he's now director of youth engagement, Earth Echo International.
Mm-hmm.
Enrique Sala, a National Geographic explorer in residence and founder of the Pristine Seas Project. Vicky Spruill, who's CEO of the New England Aquarium. Olani Willem, who is Chief Strategy and External Relations Officer for Neotero. She's been in the conservation field for years. And that's it.
That sounds like a great team. So I'm hoping you get lots of fantastic nominations.
And I would trust that team to select somebody.
Yeah.
Or 8 somebodies, right? Yeah. Groups.
That's going to be a challenge. I hope we get lots of nominations so people send in your names. Do you have any kind of things that might happen that will be different from the Benchley Awards? Any new themes or twists that you might?
Oh, well, I tell you what we're going to do is we did this once and we're going to have a sort of a roving buffet dinner. Because we found that worked very well. And each awardee had a certain spot in the dining room or the reception area. So they would stand there and then people could come up and chat with them and move on and chat with the next awardee. And we're definitely going to try to do some kind of panels the day of and perhaps the day before. And we hope a lot of the past awardees will come back also.
Yeah. And the panels, which we did in the past, are very good for giving public access. There's only so much space for an award ceremony, but there's always public education to be done around the edges. And also in the past, we only were at one aquarium. Now we're going to be at many aquariums. So more fish in our awards.
This is making me think. I'm so curious because, Wendy, the whole thing is honoring Peter and his conservation efforts. And you always had such a beautiful video introducing the Benchley Awards with his history. How do you think he would feel about the progress that these awards have made and what it's looking like now?
Oh, I think that he would be stunned and feel very happy and delighted with it. He was a very modest guy, so he would be really startled, I think. Yeah. He was quite shy. At big parties, he would definitely be the guy who would stand in the corner and not be roving around. But his involvement with the ocean was so utterly complete. If he wasn't diving and doing expeditions with National Geographic or other groups, he also spent hours, hundreds and hundreds of hours with Teddy Tucker, who is a great Bermudian wreck diver and explorer. And he uncovered most of the wrecks around Bermuda. And then we went to Turks and Caicos and uncovered some wrecks. The ocean was part of his intellectual life also. In that way. And he just loved the history. He did so much history and research for his books. That came across, I think, in The Deep, especially in the deep. We certainly dove on those wrecks where the three wrecks went down on top of each other and the ampules were there. But I'm digressing a little bit.
You were not shredded by a giant moray eel, however.
No, we were not. But it was a fascinating time.
And I think also it's just that sense that the times are challenging, but there's something about the ocean that I'm always optimistic when I'm coming out of a body surfing session or have been diving, blowing bubbles. I think I just wrote something where I quoted the author who wrote that the solution to everything is, Isaac wrote, the solution to everything is salt water, sweat, tears, or the sea.
Yeah, just get dipped.
Yeah, that's a wonderful, I love that quote.
And I think that quote sort of summarizes the spirit we get with the Eventually Ocean Awards.
Yeah, water is magic, that's for sure. What would you say to up-and-coming conservationists inspired by the Benchley honorees? What kind of tips or encouragement would you want to give these new people coming in that may be either getting an award or being there to witness the award? Again, it's such a magical experience. I hope we get lots. But what are your tips and encouragement for them?
I think in viewing the awardees, what you find a commonality across many sectors, whether it's media, science, policy, is that people who love the ocean follow their passion, and that it, whatever aspect of our blue world inspires you, make that your life. And making that your life, don't get disconnected from the sea, because that's the source of all that life and inspiration that drives us in our mission.
Whenever I give speeches, I always say something akin to that. But I also add on that you don't need to have a full-time job associated with the ocean. That doing part-time work and participating that way in an NGO or in film or in cleanup weekends, anything on that line can be very satisfying, because I think a lot of young people feel that, I mean, they really want to be absolutely deeply involved in the ocean, but it just can't work out for everybody. So don't worry. If it doesn't work out for you, you can get a job and wherever you end up, and then find some way to participate, and that'll feel good.
I mean, we did a book, 50 Ways to Save the Ocean.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is everything we do every day affects the seas around us. So we yes. don't have to be a Jacques Cousteau or Peter Benchley. We just have to live right. And it turns out when we do good for the ocean, it also does good for us in terms of our health, our pocketbook, just our sense of well-being and connection. And that's what we hope these awards do, will expand that sense of well-being and connection to the sea around us.
I think anything any of us can do to also just be an example with how you exhibit your love and dedication to the ocean is very impactful. And both of you have been wonderful examples. So thank you so much for being part of the Rising Tide Ocean Podcast. And we will see you at the Benchley Awards in 2025. Rising Tide, the Ocean Podcast, is a production of Blue Frontier, co-hosted by Blue Frontier's David Helbard and Vicki Nichols Goldstein of the Inland Ocean Coalition, with production support from Holden Hardcastle of Fluid Studios, Natasha Benjamin, and Nick Paz, and editing services provided by Charles Landon of Studio Cape May. You can find Rising Tide at bluefront.org or on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you download your podcast. And don't forget to recommend the Rising Tide Ocean Podcast to your friends and other ocean lovers.
Off in the salty ocean, off where the waves roll free. The sparkling water rises, then crashes to the sea. Out amongst the breakers, you'll have no need to fear. It's true, it's the Blue Frontier. Off in the salty ocean, off to the Blue Frontier.
Sparky, come here, buddy. Sparky. There you are. Good boy, Sparky.